Happy New Year, everybody! Happy New Year, Podders! Welcome to episode 80, and the fourth year of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Yay, we're getting old!
You say that every time now, like this is something new.
No, I just like to think of it as being kind of fresh and new.
We're not. We are not spring chickens by any stretch of the imagination.
I can live with not being a spring chicken because then I won't be on somebody's plate later on as eggs and chicken wings.
Dirty.
It's because, like, all of what's on television at the moment is football. So, of course, I have wings on the brain. It's like there's nothing on. I was a little disappointed over Christmas and New Year's because our family is a little more secular.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't do all of the go out to church and, you know, worship. We don't do that in my family. So, of course, we wanted to sit down and watch things. And aside from renting movies, so I tried to look at what was on television, and it was like, you can watch Prison Break or Lock Up or marathons of, you know, Tyler Perry movies. Or
there was a Mythbusters marathon. That's what I kept myself entertained with the entire time, was Mythbusters. That's what kept me crafting the entire week.
It's like, come on, guys. Isn't there anything interesting on? Anything?
That was
anything
interesting?
Bueller? No, I mean besides that.
Okay.
And that wasn't on the whole time.
Yes, it was.
Both Christmas and New Year's?
It was 10 days straight of Mythbusters, of every single episode. My TV channel did not leave the Science Channel for 10 days straight. I even woke up to it. It was that bad. Hey, it kept me in the crafting spirit.
True. See, this has been my spirit for the last week. You can't see my little nerdy necklace, my even star, because I've been on a Hobbit binge ever since we went and saw the Battle of
Five Rivers. I wonder why.
Well, once I saw Battle of Five Armies, I went and I, of course, did a whole bunch of image searching because I'm going to make Elrond now. I have to make his armor, his second age armor.
Of course you do. Of course
you do. I already have the sword. And I was lucky enough to win a replica of the One Ring on Cosplay Boom's Hobbit special show by answering trivia, because I'm a geek, and a very big geek, and I'm not ashamed of that.
Tolkien geek.
Yes, I'm Tolkien geek. Not quite to the extent of Stephen Colbert, but I'm getting there.
So see, if that was a Star Wars episode, I would nail it. That would not be a problem.
Watching Fellowship of the Ring again. If you're going to marathon something while crafting, there's nothing like Lord of the Rings, because you can just set it and go. I don't even have the extended editions. I need to have those, but I'm waiting for when they do the ultimate collection, kind of like they did with Star Wars, where they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
You know they're going to do that.
Oh, yeah. I'm just waiting for it to come out.
It's just a matter of time.
Man, I'm getting one.
Yeah.
I need costume references, man. I need costume references.
See, you saw The Hobbit. My family and I, we saw The Interview. That's a family-friendly, wholesome movie right there. It was stupidly entertaining, though, I will say that much. It's basically what you expect out of a Seth Rogen movie, so.
Yes.
If anybody has seen the movie Argo, so imagine that, but in North Korea, with James Franco and Seth Rogen, and that's essentially the movie.
Why does this not surprise me?
Yeah, exactly.
We have had a wonderful holiday season and a great start to our new year. And throughout this episode, we will be touching on a few of our goals and our convention list for 2015. But first, as is tradition, let's start with our cosplay updates. Since you've apparently been in a cosplay mood, what have you been
working on? I have to be. It's not a wanting to be, it's a I have to be. PAX South is less than 3 weeks away. I have to be in a crafting mood. So, nah. She's dancing on her screen.
It doesn't get any better than this, folks. We're a bunch of geeks and nerds and dorks, and that's okay. We are who we are, and we have fun with it.
Exactly. It's not going to change anytime soon. Okay, anyway. I've been working on my Rosa the Crimson costume. Most of it has been me being very cranky and complaining about all things doing with armor, and I refuse to make armor ever again after this. But I will show off my final gauntlet piece. Oh, look at that. It's shiny and dingy and dirty at the same time. I roughed it up intentionally because I like worn armor. I don't like nice, shiny, pristine armor. I like armor that looks like it's been used and like worn. So there we go. I did a lot of aging on this sucker. And it's so cool and it fits me so nicely. Made all completely out of Warbla. I'm never doing this ever again. This sucked. I hated it so much. Hate it. Hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it. Have I said that I hate it?
No, I don't believe you said how you feel about it. How do you feel about armoring?
I hate it. I'm going back to craft foam because you know what I did? She has these buckles on her shoes, and I was initially going to make them out of layering Warbla together because they're fairly thick. But I was after this mess, I was like, you know what? I don't have the patience for this. So I made them out of craft foam. I sealed them. They're hard as rocks. They're not going to move, and they're not going to chip. And they flex around my boot. I'm sticking to craft foam. And the last piece of armor that I'm working on, yeah, I was thinking about doing that in Warbla too. I'm not doing that. This is just pleather interfacing and then some satin bias tape that I made. And there you go. There's a pauldron. I didn't have to do 10 hours of forming and shaping and painting and priming and all that crap. This was maybe about
Doesn't
an hour of my
take
time.
10 hours. It
It
takes
does for me.
like 15 minutes to do shaping, and then all the rest of that time for the next couple of hours is priming and sanding lovingly.
Yeah, that's still a couple of hours. This took me 1 hour.
Well, see, I can also prime and sand in an hour too, if I
See,
really want to be productive.
I suck of it. I suck at that stuff. I try. I really did. Those gauntlets took me 2 weeks of my life. I don't want to do that ever again. I'm just going to outsource all my art, my armoring stuff, or not deal with armoring ever again, because it's just too much. Too much. Because the fabric portions of her costume, and they're fairly complicated pieces for how limited fabric is involved, I got those done all this weekend. Like, all of her major pieces are pretty much done. I'm just working on the top armor, and then I just need to connect everything to the fabric portions. And that's it. I'm done. She's ready to go. So yeah, no more armor ever again. No. I'm done with it. The only time I could see it being useful is like I did with my Enchantress headpiece. I love the crap out of that thing. I think it worked really well for Wonderflex and for how I primed it and painted it. If I do more pieces like that, or if I want to do like a Batman mask, yeah, I could see that being useful. But that's about it. Not doing anything else ever again. No. Fabric only. She giggles at me, but she knows that I have been nothing but complaining and moaning and the B
Grumpy.
word. Yeah, I've been very grumpy and very cranky lately. So armor has been the bane of my existence. Somehow I have to make a prop out of this too. That's probably not going to happen at this rate. So, however, what have you been doing? 'Cause I'm done.
I finally started working on cosplay again.
Yay!
Yay! I'm doing this in between bouts of working on my house because while, yes, there's forever going to be things to do to my house, there's always going to be things to fix because it's an old house and there's a lot of things that are breaking. I finished caulking the bathroom this morning, but I'm finding that as I'm learning how to do these things around the house, it can be applicable to prop and armor making because they're general techniques that I can use in other things. So I just tell myself it's just practice for when I use these for other things. Not that I'm going to ever caulk my props, but you know, just the idea of masking and smoothing and using some of these substances, because you can actually use silicone caulk and cornstarch to make generic Suguru. So, you know, there is that. I can use cosplay to fix my house. But no, the other thing that I've been working on, which this doesn't look like much yet, and that's because it's a mock-up, and my sewing machine hates me because it kept eating my thread, but I do have a corset mock-up. This is for Cosmos. Now, this is going to be one of those few things, ladies, where you have to kind of worry about what you're going to do with undergarments because it's basically a halter top without the halter. It's a strapless gown that sits right here. You can see the very tops right here. That's how far up it's going to go, and that's it. And then because this is for Cosmos, she has this weird little necklace type thing that goes up that I'm going to adapt into a halter, but I'm going to end up having to either use like flesh colored fabric or clear vinyl that I have to rough up so that it doesn't shine in people's faces when I get pictures taken of me, or, you know, I may have to start using boning for the first time, you know, because this is actually supposed to be a boned corset per the pattern, but I'm so big and my proportions are so right for this pattern that I don't really need the boning. I fill it out perfectly just the way I am, which is kind of scary. And let me tell you how cold it is. In Texas, when you're in your house and it is, you know, 30 degrees outside and you're sitting here looking longingly at your piece of, you know, fabric going, I need to test fit this, but that means I have to take all my layers off. Because, of course, when you test fit, you have to test fit the way you're going to wear it at the con. In my case, I had to have undergarments on. But when I wear this, I'm going to have different undergarments on. So I kind of had to guess, but still, I had to sit there and convince myself to take off all my layers so that I could test fit this piece of clothing. It's like, how much do you love cosplay? How much? How much do you love it over warmth? So I did that. And, of course, I make all my mock-ups on poster board, so now I'm trying to sketch out the little piece that goes here that's the center of her halter top, and now it's just a matter of fleshing it out. I don't like, this is one of the few times in life when I'm having trouble, because I don't like the fact that all the reference shots for Cosmos are low res. You know, you can get a picture that's 600 by 500. That seems like a pretty fairly sized picture until you try and zoom in on it on a fairly large size computer monitor, which I only have, I think, a 17-inch computer monitor. It's not that big. And it's not even a high-def monitor. And then everything becomes pixelated, and it's very hard to see the details, which, as a cosplayer, one of my aims is accuracy. So I took it upon myself to just simply remodel that elaborate thing that goes around her neck and down her front, because it's so helter-skelter that it's really hard to see. So I'm just making it all even. I mean, she's the opposite of chaos, which must mean order, so I'm making it orderly. I'm adding order to my costume. It's going to be symmetrical, darn it. Oh. I still haven't figured out what I'm going to make it out of. I'm still kind of wavering back and forth between whether or not I want to do it out of vinyl, out of leather, or out of craft foam with styrene on the top. It's if you've ever seen the pictures, you'll know the crest on the armor-looking thing I'm talking about. Almost every single person I've seen do this does it with vinyl or with cotton fabric, or I've even seen some people do it with bias tape. I don't want the fabric look, because it looks like she's wearing some sort of thing on top of her dress. It's a harness. It's not built into the dress. It's not painted on the dress. And I'm not knocking people who do that. That's just, this is how I'm interpreting this character. So it's a matter of, well, how the heck do I want to do this and still make sure that I can wash this thing when I'm done, because it's white. And everybody knows what happens when you wear white things to a con. Washing your costumes is important, kids. Even if it doesn't look dirty, smell it. Then you will want to wash it. Because wearing these after a con, after an 8-hour day, you're going to smell. Whether you wear deodorant or not, you're going to smell. So wash your costumes, kids. Make them washable. I don't want to have to take this to the dry cleaner, because that's expensive. And I'm already sinking enough money as is into the house. I have a $600 car repair bill next weekend, and I'm getting a root canal on Wednesday, which was not my fault. So, frankly...
Wait, how is that not your fault? Wait a second. Root canal kind of makes it your fault.
Okay, short tangent. Because I went to the dentist for my normal checkup, and they asked me, they're like, your front teeth are discolored. Why? Were you ever hit in the face? I said, no, I've never been hit in the face to my knowledge unless I was really, 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 really little to the point where I can't remember it. Because I can remember all the way back to when I was 3. So It would have had to have been like before that. And they were like, well, you know, we should take a look. So they did x-rays of my teeth, and then they did some sort of, I guess what they call a cold test, where they take ultra cold gel and they push it against your teeth to see if you feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on my discolored tooth, I didn't feel it anymore. And he's like, oh, your tooth is dead.
Your tooth's dead, yeah.
And it's necrotizing. And if we don't do the root canal, it's going to spread. And I'm sitting there going, I brush, I floss, I've taken care of my teeth, I have never had problems with the exception of the cavities I got because the fillings in my molars had actually worn off, and they said there was nothing I could do about that either. So it's like all these things that are happening to my mouth are not my fault, yet I'm still having to go through having four cavities filled, having a root canal, all these different things. I can't even afford to have a crown put on the tooth when they're done. So, ah!
I understand your pain. I only ask about the root canal because I've had one done before. It's not enjoyable. However, they also did an They didn't hit the right spot in my mouth. They missed it three different times, and by then they needed to get it out. They couldn't schedule me within the next month, so I sat there in total pain as they ripped that sucker out of my head. Hopefully your experience will be much better than mine.
Because it's this tooth right here, it's my front tooth. If they miss, there's a problem.
There's a big problem.
It's not right there in front of my mouth. In fact, I'm kind of hoping that since it's a front tooth, they won't have to put the devices that hold your mouth open for the whole, hour or 90 minutes or however long that they have to hold your mouth open for. Because it's a front, I'm hoping they won't necessarily have to do that. I can just hold my mouth open. But at the same time, because I am so low on PTO, I have to go to work after having the root canal.
Oh, you're going to be fun and druggy.
Actually, I'm not going to be druggy because they're not giving me the nitrous oxide. I told them no. That's why I'm doing this early in the morning, so I'm still half asleep.
You're going to be... you're going to regret that, sweetie. You're going to regret that.
My only other choice is to take it as a day off unpaid. And at the moment, given that $600 car repair that's coming next weekend, I cannot afford it.
You're going to be so miserable. You're going to be horribly miserable.
I'm aware. Like I said, I really don't have much of a choice. Companies don't give us sick time in addition to PTO. My PTO is my sick time. And, I've been lucky so far this season that I haven't gotten the flu, but, I have to do Symphony, too, to get that extra paycheck. So... it's going to be a fun rest of the week. Thank goodness I'm not on call, which I will be later on this month.
Mm-hmm. She's making a face. It'll be okay.
Grumble. We'll eventually get a better paying job where I'm not constantly on call 24 hours a day.
Yeah, preach to the choir, lady. Preach to the choir. So anyway, cosplay stuff.
Tangent over.
Tangent done.
So that's what I've been working on thus far as cosplay goes. It's just my short little progress in between bouts of fixing the house. My Dremel's getting a workout. I haven't even touched my cosplay with my Dremel yet. Which I did learn, kids, if you're going to use your Dremel like a drill, get a really good set of drill bits. Don't use the cheapy stuff. Because the cheapy stuff eventually wears down and there isn't a tip anymore with it to bite into whatever it is you're drilling into, particularly wood. And then you have to basically sit there and make pilot holes and then drill the pilot holes and then stick your screw or your nail into it, which is pain in the butt. So just, you get what you pay for. Get nice drill bits. Or, better yet, get an actual drill.
If you're going to get stuff for cosplay, invest in the pieces, because then they're going to last you much, much longer. I know that's not always possible, depending upon budget, but if it's something that you expect to use for years to come, invest in it now. It'll pay for itself later.
Tools are one of the few things that I would say do not skimp on in cosplay. We always talk about cosplay on a budget,
mm-hmm.
because, you can always get fabric on sale. You can always get notions on sale. You can always go with cheaper fabrics, and that's cool. Tools are one of the few things don't go cheap. You can do it on sale. That's fine. Home Depot, Lowe's, Ace, they've all got sales during various parts of the year, especially near the end of the year. But don't get the cheapy tools. You'll thank yourself later when you get the more expensive ones. Yeah, it's going to cost you money, but they'll last you a heck of a lot longer, and you won't have to do, MacGyvering on your power tools.
Duct tape for the win.
I find nothing wrong with duct tape. Well, duct tape except for maybe awesome. the nasty residue after it's been sitting on something for a while.
I don't
have a problem with, but
you know.
Given the upsides, I can live with it.
It's not as bad. There are ways to remove it. Oh, goodness. All
right. So, recently we held, I don't want to say a contest, but we held an open forum for applications for correspondence for the show. Because after 3 years, we'd like to try and expand the show even more so that we're covering more of the cosplay world. And to that end, because there's only two of us and we're limited, unfortunately, by, you know, time, budget, travel, that sort of thing, work. So we've asked your help, the Potters, to see if some of you guys can also help us provide coverage. That includes conventions, that includes cosplay news, all that sort of good stuff. We ended up getting several applications for the various positions. We actually had two open. I believe it was North and West.
Mm-hmm.
And we have actually had a couple of people accept now that we have sent out, you know, our decision. And so, drum roll.
There we go. It just took a moment. I'm sorry. So, first off, I have Catherine, who is going to be our West Coast correspondent. What stood out about her was that she's been to BlizzCon. She's really big into armoring cosplay, which would make Amber very, very happy. And she's fairly young and new to the community. She hasn't been out in California very long, but she's very excited, very interested in learning about cosplay, and is willing to bring us kind of a new person perspective on things. So that's kind of cool. She had a really good application. We're really excited to see what she can bring to the table. She does have a couple of pages, like Pinterest page and Twitter, but she doesn't have like a Facebook page, so we'll be sure to link that for her. So yay to Catherine. Thank you for joining us.
Applause.
Lots of applause.
For this.
Thank you, Google. And then the second person is Bailey. Bailey has been watching us for quite some time, so she's a regular fan of ours. She currently resides in the Iowa, Illinois area, and that's where she typically goes to conventions. You'll probably see her around ASIN, Anime Iowa, places like that. And a lot of her perspective is she's going to be a first-timer entering the contest scene this year. So that'll be a fun perspective, because something that Amber and I, we've been doing this for quite some time. We don't really have the newbie perspective when it comes to contests. She's basically going to be our insight into what people can expect these days, because contests, how they're now, are completely different from how they were even 5 years ago. So that'll be a lot of fun, and she has a lot of interest in anime, manga, and all that cool stuff. So yay for her. And we'll be linking her page as well. She goes by Rose Curry Cosplay. I think that's a fun name. I like that one. So, yay. So, thank you so much to everybody who signed up. It was a really hard decision, and definitely we're going to be trying a lot of new things with them. We hope to get them on the show soon, probably within the next month or so, so everybody can meet them. We can talk to them about their interests, what they're going to be doing this year. Definitely talk to Catherine about all the cool stuff that happened at BlizzCon, because I totally want to hear about all the good things that happened at BlizzCon. Amber's nodding her head because she knows that that's awesomeness and epic greatness in just one little bundle. Ah!
This so, yeah. is not to discourage any of our other applicants from still contributing content. You guys are still always more than welcome to send in videos from conventions, if you have tutorials, if you attend an event, like if you have a cosplay meetup for a particular show. You guys are more than welcome to send in content. We will still happily accept the content. So, you know, please do contribute if you would like to contribute, guys.
Absolutely, yeah. But this is mostly just a specialized position. These ladies will come on the show every now and then, along with Katie from Broken Mirror Cosplay. So all three of them will be reporting from various conventions around the country, as well as providing any tutorials that they may have that we haven't covered yet. Things like that. So we hope to really expand all of our coverage this year. I think that's definitely something I'm really excited for about with 2015. It means a lot more work for me, but I'm really looking forward to it. So much stuff that Val has to sort through now.
And speaking of upcoming cons, AllCon is coming up very shortly.
Yay.
We have some spiffy new trophies now.
We do. If I can get a nice picture of one up, so hang on. Keep talking.
So we have gotten the trophies. We are in process of working on prizes. We've also already set our judges, and we have an MC. So things are rolling along pretty darn well for the cosplay contest at AllCon, and that is on Friday. Again, we encourage you guys to sign up early. We do have sign-up sheets. They're linked on our Facebook so that you guys can register early. The contest will be somewhere between 5 and 9 p.m. on that Friday. It'll be shorter than that, obviously, but that's so you get an idea of when it will be held. It's in the same place that it was last year. And we hope to expand participation, and we hope to have some really awesome prizes lined up for you guys so that it will entice you to join us on that Friday.
We're hoping for many spiffy things.
Yeah. And we're having a blast preparing for it, too. You know, it's as much fun for us as it will be for you guys, I think.
All right, screen share time. There's a look at all of our trophies. Ah, I'm so excited for them. The big Best in Show one is like 13 inches tall, which is slightly larger than what Amber and I had discussed. However, it was so cool and nifty, I couldn't help myself. I'm really excited because of all the categories we have this year. We've really expanded it to try and get more people included. I think one of the biggest concerns about previous years was that the categories were really restricted to only Japanese-oriented content. So it had to be manga, anime, J-pop, but it could only be from Japan. This time we've really opened it up so that way you can be any type of media anywhere around the world. We'll take you. We want as many people to join as possible because a part of cosplay is, you know, togetherness, the play part of it. We want people to really bring out that character and bring that character to life.
And if you've never competed before, this would be a fantastic contest to be your first. AllCon is very welcoming. They are very easygoing and non-judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is run very smoothly. Most of the convention staff are veterans. They've been doing this for a long time, so they're good at what they do. And the community as a whole in North Texas is very supportive. So if you've kind of been on the fence about whether or not you'd like to compete, go ahead and go for it. This is the time to do it. And the Friday contest is going to be a little less intimidating, I think, than the Saturday one normally is.
Absolutely. And the Saturday one is really easygoing, too, which I think this one's going to be much nicer by comparison.
Yes.
So a lot of fun.
Encourage you guys, come out, join us, compete, or sit in the audience and watch, support your fellow cosplayers. Either way, we want you guys to have fun. So come join us at AllCon. It's March 12th through 15th in Addison, Texas at the Crown Plaza. And it's going to be a ton of fun. Of course, we'll be there in cosplay covering the scene.
We're going to be so busy again. Oh my god.
Oh, we are. But that's okay. We're always busy.
When are we not busy?
Actually, for about the last 6 weeks, we haven't been as busy, notwithstanding the AllCon contest.
Right.
Which was a surprise. But other than that, we kind of had, after ANT, we kind of had a down period, which was rather nice. It was necessary, but nice.
You've had a down period. I've been working on costumes.
I've been working on the house. I had a downtime from cosplay. I didn't have a downtime from life. And work ate my lunch, man. Over the holidays, oof. It was not the most fun of times.
It never is. It never is.
But, you know, it's a paycheck, and it means having a place where I can do crazy things like cosplay.
Exactly, and set things on fire, and go out to a shed and burn stuff.
When it stops being so freaking cold outside, I insulated my window with bubble wrap, I will have you know.
I've seen people do that. You're not alone.
When it's not so cold outside, then I can start going out to the shed, because otherwise I'm going to have to burn a fire just to stay warm outside in the shed. And lighting a fire in a shed is not a good idea. Lighting a fire outside the shed is okay, but then it doesn't keep you warm.
Do I need to start playing the Breaking Bad music again?
Just saying.
I'm going out to the shed to do something that's very dangerous.
We don't have a microwave in my house, so whenever I need something warm, it usually involves fire. I have a hurricane lamp next to me to keep me warm. Whenever I want nachos, I take a butane torch and I fry the cheese on the chips, man. I have melted butter over a candle before because we don't have a microwave. So, you know, get over it. Amber likes fire. Fire is useful in most circumstances. It will be useful for cosplay too, just not in the shed. Particularly given the shed is built of wood. And I don't think it's very flame resistant.
So obviously this segment right here is going to be going into the montage at the end of the year.
Yes.
Note to self to tag this with fire so it's easier for me to find it.
This segment brought to you by Saint Amber's Fire. No, I'm not a saint. That was a bad 80s reference for those of you who are too young to know. Go look up Saint Elmo's Fire.
They're bringing that back too, by the way.
Yes, and Elmo does not refer to the Sesame Street character.
No, no, just letting y'all know. Not.
Oh, it's great being an 80s baby. At any rate, we're going through a lot of tangents today.
It's fine. It's been a very, very stressful 2014. So this is us trying to get rid of that and get it out of our system.
We're trying to slough off, you know, the...
And embrace 2015.
The ugliness that was 2014.
Exactly.
So, yeah, we're getting there. As far as 2015 plans go, all con aside, our convention schedule is going to be a little bit lesser this year. That's simply due to both of us having job considerations. I have major financial considerations since I just sunk a bunch of money into a house and into an aging car. And basically, we don't have the time to be able to travel as much this year. So hence, you know, the need for correspondence. But we are still going to be at most of our home cons. So we're still going to be at AllCon. We're still going to be at ACon. And I will be going to TRF this year, you know, come hell or high water. Because I didn't go last year and I missed their 40th anniversary.
Tier. It'll be okay.
I may do Anime Fest. I don't know yet. If I do, it's going to be volunteering as staff. And then Val is also doing Dragon Con.
Hell yeah, I'm doing Dragon Con.
And then in the fall, we're going to both do A&T again, assuming circumstances are to where we can go. So basically, those are going to be the cons we're aiming for this year. I know we've left out a lot of other cons, but like I said, it's for considerations. Unless, of course, your local convention would like to invite us as a guest, and then maybe we can actually go.
Yeah, that's different, because then it kind of helps offset some of those costs.
Yes, and it also allows us to justify to our jobs why we suddenly need this time off.
Exactly.
We have limited time off from jobs, and a lot of mine is going to get taken up by Symphony this year. So those are where we're going to be. And, of course, if you guys are going to be at other conventions that are not on that list and you guys have content to share, please send it in to us. We'd love to share with other people who are unfortunately not able to go. We also will have new content for you guys this year as far as tutorials goes and as far as interviews go. We're already starting to look at interview lineups for this year. We're going to try and broaden out just a little bit to tackle the different aspects of costuming. We're also going to do a couple of special episodes on particular styles of costuming, like video game cosplay, historical cosplay, LARP, that sort of thing. You know, we're continuing what we started last year with the movie and television costumes with Game Companion. And hopefully, if I don't burn down my shed, I'm going to be starting to bring you guys tutorials on soldering, on electronic work, because as I learn to do these things in my house, I'm also going to apply them to cosplay. So I will be teaching you guys those things. And hopefully we should also have some basic tutorials on Warbla and on other thermoplastics. So
Val made a face.
There will be many new things to come and new panels because, you know, at least one of us is going to be teaching again this year. So it's just a matter of when and where. I already have my panel ideas for upcoming cons.
Yeah, I do too. I'm just waiting on them to open up.
I will be sending an email.
I'm at the point now. I'll save this for the after session. This will be after session stuff.
It's cool. But we're basically kind of shifting from being competitors into being teachers. So we're kind of moving away a bit from the participant in cosplay, which we're still going to cosplay, obviously. We're still going to be in cosplay. Just we're kind of moving away from the flashy participation into the more sort of stable, older cosplayers are now passing on the torch to the next cosplay gen. So we're going to be offering all of our knowledge, wisdom, and experiments to you guys. What? Don't make that face.
Again, do I need to start playing the Breaking Bad music?
I'm not going to be doing illegal things in my shed.
They'll be aware of.
No, they'll be illegal.
It's just funny.
There are not burn bans currently in this area where I live. Therefore, they can't stop me from doing it on my own property, which I own this property. This is my property. My name is on it. My name is on the deed. Mine.
See, here's the thing. It's the way that you say it and how you phrase the sentence structure. It just sounds very wrong and like you're doing things that are very illegal.
Yes, I do that on purpose because it makes people laugh.
It makes me giggle and it gives me a lot of content for the end of your montage.
No kid. Potters, I'm not doing anything illegal in my house or in my shed. So you don't have to worry about that. But I am going to use fire for whenever I need to use it. And if I have, you know, when we brought the furniture into my house, my dad was having me do street soldering with a butane torch. Okay? So, you know, just there will be fire in my life. It's just a matter of what burns down first.
That needs to be a bumper sticker. There will be fire in my life. Just a matter of what burns down first.
There you go.
All righty.
Also, speaking of, you know, 2015 and end of 2014, we would like to give special thanks to those who have donated for our web hosting costs. We will thank Bryce, and since we don't have permission to use his full name, we won't. So, you know, Bryce, thank you very much. And Alan, thank you very much, both of you, for donating to the costs of us hosting the show. Because of them, we were able to renew our hosting for another year. And actually, we will have enough for nearly the next 2 years. So, 5 years of CosPod may be coming your way. Just because, you know, they were very generous in helping us out. And we really, really do appreciate that. Like I said, every penny that we get literally goes into podcast-exclusive equipment or our hosting costs. The Firewire drive we have, the one that's sitting right here, we bought this last year. This is our Firewire drive. It's 500 gigabyte. This is only used for the podcast. I have no personal content on here whatsoever. All this has is CosPod video on it. And we take this, well, I take this with us to conventions so that when we film panels and video, we dump it on here so that it doesn't take up space on the hard drive on my laptop and so that it processes faster. And when we're done, I keep it here at the house and I keep all of CosPod stuff on it offline so that were something to happen to the website, I could bring it back up and still have all of our content. In fact, I have two backups of the CosPod website that are offline. So, you know, we do use these for the podcast itself. We don't use this for our own personal gain. We don't see a penny of this. So, my power cord is about to fall. No.
Okay, well, she tries to find her power cord. But really, thank you guys. It's an immense amount of help for us. It covers all of our basic fees that we need to keep the website up and running, so we really appreciate it. And even though Amber says every time, Alan, don't do it, you still do it. So thank you. It makes me giggle every time she says that.
Oh, he justified himself in a note to us about, you know, giving what he does, and it was cute. But yeah, for you guys who don't know, it costs us about $120 every year to renew the website. And that's both hosting and for the domain, because we own cospod.org. Nobody's going to take that away. Definitely not squatters who are sitting on cospod.com and want $2,295 for it. So we may be expanding that in the future. We may end up, you know, broadening out the CosPod name to other domains. They'll all just mirror the same website, because I have enough trouble doing the one website by myself.
Yeah, you do. We don't need any more work right now.
And, you know, this coming week, I am going to start taking my laptop with me to work so that I can start, you know, overhauling the website. Because there are some things that need to change. There are some things that just need to be upgraded or updated. And basically, we're trying to make it a hub for all things cosplay. The only thing that we will probably never have is a forum. And the reason for that is twofold. One, because it opens up the website to all sorts of vulnerabilities that I would have to actively monitor and patch. And two, we honestly don't have time to mod the forums. We don't have time to moderate our own forums. And we don't want to sit there and put that on other people to moderate forums. I know CostCom is basically fading. I know ACP wasn't as strong as they had hoped it would be. There isn't really a cosplay forum right now that people just kind of coalesce behind. While I feel like we could be that point, we don't have the resources at the moment. So
that requires more manpower than we have physically capable of handling.
And more IT power and more finesse, more control finesse over what we've got. Because I admit, I'm not knowledgeable about server administration. And even if I was, I have very limited control over our website server. So, you know, I don't want to sit there and put down WordPress or something else that's like Swiss cheese. It's like Flash. You constantly have to update it. No. No, I think the website for right now will be fine. At some point in the distant future, if that changes, you guys will be the first to know. And then we will take over the cosplay world. We are the Pinky and the Brain.
You're definitely Brain then, because I have to be Pinky. I'm not smart enough to be Brain.
Narf.
But you say Narf really well. I can't say it properly. I sound really weird when I try.
That's what we called last episode, Narf.
Narf.
Anyways, I believe you have a tutorial for us.
Well, it's kind of a tutorial. It's kind of a awkward cause philosophy. I think this is something we can both kind of shoot off of. But it was something that's I've seen hidden. I cannot speak. I've seen this hit a couple of inboxes through various social media that I handle for people. The question of how to host a cosplay gathering. And that's actually a very sizable question with a lot of answers. So I thought this would be kind of a fun topic for Amber and I to kind of tackle and talk about. Because there's so many different ways that you can set one up, that you can schedule it, and all that fun business. So, yeah, that's the topic. Pray not all
well,
here.
That was a great setup. Thanks,
yeah,
girl.
Wasn't it? I am awesome today. I told you I was going to have problems.
No, so setting up a cosplay gathering, and this is something that a lot of people are doing at conventions now that don't have official meets set up. A lot of conventions are basically lacking the manpower to be able to have an official photo shoot room, or they're lacking the resources to where they can't set up these official meets. And so it's up to the fans to do it for them. And so this is why you see so many Facebook groups springing up for all these different conventions, you know, saying, you know, we're going to have this meetup, we're going to have this photo shoot, we're going to have this gathering. And it really helps if you have somebody who's very organized leading the effort so that the meet doesn't fall apart. Because hurting cosplayers can be quite a bit like hurting cats. Schedules don't match up. You know, people have different priorities at cons, and not everybody's going to agree on a place and a time and a date. So basically, you kind of have to pick something and go with it, which is why having one person head the effort tends to be a little bit easier than having, say, a small committee. And to that end, you will find that now a lot of photo shoots have a designated lead, or what they call a point of contact. And that's extremely helpful to have if you're starting to run a group. Because that way people who want to join say, hey, I need some information about this meetup. They know who to go to. And I think that's probably your starting place, is to have somebody start the meet and agree to run it. If that changes over time, that's fine. But have one designated point of contact for your meet.
That's definitely a good starting point is, okay, I have this costume. I totally want to see other cosplayers come together. You need one person to start the event, start the group, and then build up from there. I think the next thing that you should probably do, and I've seen more conventions doing this, and heck, I'm in charge of one for AKON, is they'll have forums or subforums available for cosplay. They actually have specific sections for unofficial photo shoots. So you can see, okay, is there a group that's already existing? Does this place have, you know, is this spot available? Is that spot available? Do they have certain rules and restrictions on how to set up an unofficial gathering? Places like Fanime in particular are very, very specific about how to run an unofficial photo shoot. You have to go through this whole moderation system and sign an application and all this stuff just to get yourself on their schedule. So look through the convention's forums and see if there's a certain system you need to follow before you actually set up the event. That's definitely step number two.
Yes. Having the convention's blessing, even if they're not actually going to run it, that is okay. But having that can be very important. So step two would be start some sort of centralized database to keep this information. Whether it's a forum, whether it's a spreadsheet, a lot of forums or a lot of conventions are now using Guidebook, which is a mobile app, so that you can keep track of things that way, which I think we both have this on our devices. I have to log into my... No! But anyway, sometime my Nexus has been having a little bit of trouble lately to where you go to unlock it and it just powers itself off. And it's like, wait a second. Why you do that?
I didn't tell you to turn it off.
It's basically giving me the digital finger.
Yeah, pretty much.
By shutting off when I need it. The important thing about Guidebook, if you do use it, is that you need to keep it updated. Because it doesn't necessarily always draw down automatic updates. So that said, you may need to go into the Play Store. There it goes. Where's Guidebook? There's Guidebook. So you have Guidebook.
And basically,
you'll have a little list of conventions that you can choose from. Eventually, you'll acquire like this list of conventions that have Guidebook. So, you know, there is that. Guidebook is actually a really good way to organize your meets, simply because people are going to have their phones on them at the con. They're going to have their phones on them at the meet.
There you go, Guidebook. Easier picture than seeing the blueness that comes from Amber's tablet.
I was showing the actual screen inside Guidebook.
That's fine, but there you go.
So, you know, that's certainly a way to go. Once you have that database, then you're going to start acquiring people. And I don't mean acquire like wealth. I mean, like, people are going to start joining up your meet, and you're going to start getting more and more and more and more people. So then, the next thing that you have to do is look at scheduling. Because in a lot of these places, they have limited space. You're going to have people who probably want to use the same picturesque location at the same time. Just because that's what's best for their group. And that's what happens to also be best for another group. And so basically we have to go back to what we learned in kindergarten, and we have to share. All the things you had to learn in life, you learned in kindergarten. You had to stay in line, you had to color in the lines, and you had to share. So, and take naps. So this is where the centralized database can help, because basically you'll have signups for the different locations, and the convention can help by designating certain locations as either being, you know, professional photo shoot locations or unofficial photo shoot locations. And they can say, you can have photos here. And then you basically start a little sheet. You can even use Google Docs if you want to, if you want it to be online and public. And you have people sign up for slots. And slots for photo shoots usually tend to run somewhere between a half an hour to an hour and a half. Usually they don't run longer than that. Usually they definitely don't run shorter than that. So you'll have people start organizing themselves in a scheduled manner so that people get the use out of the spots that they want somewhere close to the time that they want. And you will have to compromise. Not everybody's going to be able to have a photo shoot at 11 a.m. on a Saturday at a location, because that's when a lot of people are going to want to do their photo shoots. So there will be give and take. Consider doing nighttime shoots. You know, the most convention hotels, the hotels do maintain lighting on their grounds. It's for security. but it can also help with photo shoots. And you get some pretty darn cool effects when you do photo shoots at night at picturesque locations. And I've seen people use, you know, parking garages as creative locations. I've seen people use concrete walls as green screens. And then there's always the whole LED, EL wire, light up costume at night thing. So, you know, kind of be creative when thinking about not just your location, but the time of day when you want to be doing this. And unto the organizers, I would say to you, don't be disappointed if you don't get a lot of people, especially if you schedule around mealtimes or big events. If you try and schedule your photo shoot on top of the cosplay contest, you're not going to get very many people. That's just the long and short of it, because people want to go see the cosplay contest. And if you schedule it right around lunch, everybody's going to want to eat lunch, because food is a very important thing at a con. Not that you would know this by seeing how most cosplayers act at cons. Remember, 61 people. So, you know, don't be offended when these things happen. Just do the best you can, and above all, the whole point of this is to have fun. You know, this isn't supposed to be something serious.
To add to the scheduling things, here's a couple things that you should also keep in mind. If you're a first-timer with being the group leader, I would recommend that you kind of put a poll up. Like, if let's say you do a Facebook event, stick a poll up and ask everybody, okay, what day and what time do you think will work best for our photo shoot? Give it a couple of weeks, let people have a chance to actually respond to you, and then pick a time and a date at that point. Make sure it's something that's not kind of conflict with other groups that are also meeting at that same day. Because that's the big thing, is getting something that's going to be best for everybody who's involved. Because I can say from experience with ACON, Saturday is the biggest cosplay day. Of course it is. It's a weekend. It's Saturday. It's the same no matter what con you go to. Saturday is the cosplay day. And unfortunately, it's just not possible for you to change into 7 different outfits to go to 7 different photo shoots. It's just not going to happen. So there may be somebody who wants to do one shoot at 10 in the morning and then has to immediately change for something at 1 in the afternoon. So just try to figure out your priorities, see, okay, what's everybody going to be cosplaying, what's going to be the best time for them, and work within their restrictions. I mean, unfortunately, there's going to be some people who really want to go, but they just can't make it work in their schedule. And you only have so much control over that. So don't beat yourself up if you choose a time that doesn't fit with everybody's schedule, but you got to pick a time that's going to fit with most people. Don't just assume that you can do, like, a Sakura or, I don't know, an Evangelion shoot at 9 p.m. at night on Saturday and assume that you're going to get 500 people to show up. That's just not feasible. So you really got to think about what's going to work best for everybody in your group. For those who are
cosplay contest people, they're not going to be able to do it in the afternoons.
Exactly. Probably around 2 or 3 o'clock is like their cutoff time, and they're like, nope, can't do any more after that. Sorry, I got to head to the cosplay contest, or I got
to
get ready for it.
Too.
Yeah. And for them, it takes a lot longer.
It certainly can.
It definitely does. How long did it take for us? I know at least 2 hours, I think.
It took us about 2 hours to get into costume completely.
And with the makeup and all that stuff, yeah.
I think we started getting in costume a little bit after noon.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically once we got in costume, we couldn't really do much of anything because we didn't want to risk the costumes before we got on stage.
Particularly Amber's, because she was mostly white.
Because I was white, of course.
You're
white,
a good one.
Satin, no less. So it wasn't like I could just take a sponge to it and clean it.
How funny would that have been?
No wet t-shirt contest here.
No wet t-shirt contest. No. So, now, for those who have been veteran hosts like myself, I'm at the point now where I've run like the Final Fantasy shoot at ACON for 3 years, and I've been attending it for another 3 years prior to this. Yay! I already know what people's answers are going to be, so I already know it's going to be on a Saturday, and it needs to be done in the morning. So right then and there, I was able to schedule everything. I found our location. It's going to be nicely shaded. It was done. Didn't have to worry about a thing. So if you've been doing this for a while, you already kind of know, okay, this is what's going to work. But if you're a first timer or if this is your first time working with a particular group of people, I would definitely recommend that you ask them first before you decide to make a decision, because there are going to be a lot of people who probably backlash you and say, no, this is not going to work. We need to do it at this time, or previous people have done it at this time and this day. Why are you doing it here? So people can be very picky and finicky about it.
Two other quick things about scheduling. The first is that if you do a convention where the weather is known to be of a certain climate that time of year, say Project Akon, you know it's going to be roasting hot because it is Dallas in June. It's the start of summer. Knowing that, you're probably not going to want to hold a photo shoot for a group that has very heavy, elaborate costumes at 2 in the afternoon. So, likewise, if you're holding it at, say, IkiCon in the winter, you're probably not going to want to hold a free swimsuit shoot at 6 in the morning. It's going to be cold. So take the climate and the weather into account when you schedule these things so that you're not going to kill your cosplayers. I know that last year when they did the Guinness World Attempt at Akon, when they tried to do the gathering for the attempt, people were there for so long in the heat outside that a lot of them just abandoned the attempt and went back inside saying it was too hot. They couldn't just wait outside forever in the heat. People will do the same for your photo shoot. If you try and hold it outside where it's very hot and their costumes aren't permissive, they're just not going to come. So that said, the other quick thing I wanted to mention is have a backup. If there is even a sliver of a chance of inclement weather when you go to the con, it doesn't matter what day. So, you know, if there's a chance of rain on Friday, it's possibly going to affect you on Saturday too, because the weather is finicky, especially out here. So if there's even a chance, have a backup place that you can meet for the photo shoot, if not an alternate time, so that you can still gather. Even if you don't have the photo shoot, that's cool. If you guys just want to sit in the bar and have a drink, or if you want to sit there and play board games as your characters, that's fine. But, you know, there needs to hopefully be some other thing that you can do and a way of letting people know what those plans are. Because if your shoot gets canceled, if it's pouring rain outside, you're probably not going to have your shoot. You need a way of letting the people know who signed up for the shoot what's going on. Because lack of communication is a very poor way of having a reputation with people.
Absolutely. And another thing, good thing with the backup is just in case there's another group who maybe didn't read all the forums, didn't happen to see that there was a giant schedule made out, because not all conventions... Yeah, maybe didn't sign up, because not all conventions have those type of schedules. It's usually only the larger conventions like Fanime, Anime Expo, or Akon in this case. But like smaller ones may not have stuff like that, and maybe the person was oblivious to that there was a schedule. So there may be another group that took your spot. So that's also a good reason to have a backup, because maybe that other group doesn't want to move. Maybe that other group has camped out there for the rest of the day. Your backup's place is just a perfect location in case there's something else that happens, so you know you're prepared.
Yep. So you've got your leader, you've got your shoot set up, you've got your location, your time, your date, you've got everything set. What do you do when you get to the photo shoot? The person in charge should ideally get there a little bit early, just to make sure things are the way they need to be, to make sure that any photographers that need assistance can get that assistance, make sure nobody else is in your spot. And to make sure that if anybody needs, say, water because they're dehydrating, you know, basically just make sure everything's taken care of. So get there a little bit early.
Yeah. Essentially, as a group leader, you're mediating the entire shoot. Ideally, what you want to do, if you have a larger group, say more than 15 people, possibly 20 people, you come up with a list beforehand of what type of photos you want to take. More than likely, and this is what usually happens, is you'll start out with like a group of characters from each series or from each video game. Then you'll do a couple of like fun fan shots, and then sometimes you'll have like a group photo. That's usually like the epitome of the entire shoot. You come because you want to be in the group photo. That's the end-all be-all. So come up with the plan beforehand on how exactly you want the shoot to run. And the more you stick to that plan, it makes everything so much easier in the long run. Let me tell you. Less headaches.
It can help let photographers know of that plan, too, especially if you have any that have told you in advance, I will come to your meet and shoot these photos for you. Let them know what you have in mind, and they can actually help you. Instead of, you know, basically going, okay, what's next? Okay, what's next? You know, help each other out by communicating.
Especially with photographers like that, too. Good thing that you mentioned that, because one thing photographers can help you out with is placing people. So they have a better eye for what's going to look good in front of the camera, maybe not necessarily you if you haven't done this before. So instead of clumping people all together or they're all staggered apart, the photographer can help you move people to make a better looking shot.
And they'll work with lighting too.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll post people as needed. And if you notice in the shoot that anybody is having trouble, you know, particularly medical trouble, no, don't hesitate to stop the shoot and get help. Because, like I said, if it's hot or cold outside, you know, you may not know that some of these people have, you know, a bad back to where they have to sit down. You never know. So just kind of monitor during the shoot. Pay attention to what's going on. But above all, you want to avoid drama. And to that end, for those who want fan service, because this needs to be addressed. If there is any fan service going to be done, I highly recommend either doing a separate shoot entirely or have it at the end of your photo shoot. Because this should not be news to anybody, not everybody appreciates the same fan service that you do. And not everybody enjoys seeing it. I'm not even going to go through the whole talk on tolerance thing. That's not what this is. If you're going to do those sorts of shots, schedule a time and a place, and make sure that all participants are willing. You don't want to suddenly spring a fan service shoot on a completely unsuspecting person who may not be comfortable with being kissed by another person, especially if they have not brushed their teeth.
At the very least, notify people on the event page, hey, we want to do a fan service. We're going to do this at the end of the shoot, or we're going to have a separate shoot for it. That's the one thing I appreciate about the Hitalia groups. They always do a separate shoot specifically for that. Thank you guys so much, because they're just people who are not comfortable with that stuff, as Amber said. Some of us actually have to be concerned about our online presence for our jobs. And while we may like the fan service idea, we know that if those pictures end up online, that may get us fired.
Because we have no control over where those photos end up.
And exactly.
Not every industry that we work in appreciates this hobby to that extent. So we have to be careful where we are seen. That's just how life works in some industries. We have to be careful of where we are seen and portrayed in public. So when you do those sorts of things, just make sure everybody is aware of what you're doing, everybody is in agreement of what you're doing, and then you basically arrange it the exact same way you would as a standard photo shoot. At the same time, if you're going to do fan service, I caution you against doing anything more raunchy than PG-13. That goes for any series. Don't care what it is or what it's for. Do not go past PG-13. And I highly suggest, to the point of telling you, don't use minors. Don't do this to minors. Because there are so many other legal ramifications that could come out of that that you really don't want to go there. This kind of gets into the whole photography thing.
Mm-hmm.
But just don't. Minors are okay in general photo shoots. Don't use them in fan service. That's just my advice to you. So, those things aside, those caveats aside, about this is about having fun. So if you want to do wacky shots, you can.
Oh, yeah. It's fun to have, like we always do for the Final Fantasy shoot, we always have our group silly shot at the end. I mean, that's required. By law, we're required to do that.
And if you have large parts of your costume, like if you have wings, if you have a giant sword, that sort of thing, please be mindful of other people and other people's costumes. Because you may not necessarily be able to see or sense that there are other people around you. And if you're going to do that great action shot of swinging that sword, please make sure nobody's in the way. Otherwise, you're going to get an action shot you did not want.
Or maybe you did want it.
True.
Sometimes those are great.
Yeah. And the last thing that I would mention, just briefly, and this isn't meant to be a whole litany of don'ts, but this came out of the Anatole last year at ACON. Hotels have really nice architecture and art. But there are some pieces of art that you should not touch. Please be mindful whenever you have photo shoots in these sorts of areas that generally when you have large, you know, stone elephants, the con and the hotel don't want you to get up on top of them. Even though it might make a great photo, those are pieces of art. Please be considerate of them. Please be mindful that those are cultural icons. Those are not meant to be sat on or ridden on or defaced or anything like that, even for a photo. So, you know, just be mindful of it. You know, there are some creative things that you can do to get around that, to still get a nice shot with the art piece that don't involve doing those sorts of things. And, you know, I say that because the hotel at some point, if they don't like what you're doing to their art, they're simply going to stop you from taking photos anywhere out there. And that's not what we want. So for the sake of the rest of your cosplay comrades that would really like to shoot out in the sculpture garden, please don't deface or sit on the art. We like the sculpture garden. We like taking photos out there. Don't sit on the elephants.
Well, now that Amber has totally brought us down,
feel free to lift this back up.
A couple of things that I want to suggest to those who are group leaders from previous experience. Think of a general location for gathering. Don't go to something really, really specific that may be difficult for people to find. That's one of the reasons why I made the giant ARS maps that I have for ACON, just to make it easier for everybody. So they could say, okay, what's location number one? Look at the map. There you go. And the maps and guidebook, even better. But if you're like, we need you to go to this parking garage on the third level, but you turn a right here, and then you go down this staircase, you're going to get a lot of people lost in the process. So have a general meeting place that's very easy, very obvious for people to gather at, and then walk on over there. And give people like a good 15 minutes to get there first before you walk on over. It'll make your shoot a little bit longer, but at least people won't get lost along the way. Also, from personal experience, bring water, because you're going to be yelling a lot more than you ever anticipate in your entire life, and you're going to get hoarse really quickly. I've actually gotten to the point where every time I'm in charge of one of these shoots, I bring with me a bag of lozenges to help keep my throat stimulated.
Yep. Mix it gets honey really, with your water.
Yeah, it gets really scratchy at the end of the event. So, and knowing that usually I do these on a Saturday and I have to go work the cosplay contest afterwards for press stuff, it's like, yeah, I kind of need to have my voice at one point. So bring plenty of water for yourself as well as throat lozenges and honey. Honey helps out immensely. Also, don't forget to bring your own camera, because you want pictures too. And more often,
have backup cameras, have backup batteries.
Oh, yeah.
Have backup media cards, because yours will fail at the worst.
Oh, absolutely. It happened to me on multiple occasions.
And tripods. Tripods or monopods can be really helpful.
It can and it can't be. It depends on if you have a helper. I think that's great. If you don't have somebody helping you, I can see where that can be a really big problem. For me, it's easier for me to just pass my camera off to somebody else, have them take the photo if I'm in it, and then grab my camera back afterwards. As the host of the event, more often than not, you're not going to be in a lot of pictures because you're the one in charge of trying to get everything moving and corralling. So if you spend more time in the photos than you are actually hosting the event, you're not doing it right. You're doing it wrong. So just anticipate the fact that you're going to be in the background a lot trying to keep people in line, but that does give you the opportunity to take a lot of photos, so take advantage of it. Other than that, those are pretty much my tips. It's definitely about schedule, organization, and promoting the crap out of it. Yeah, promoting the crap out of it to get as many people to show up. I think that's also a challenging part, too.
A note for convention staff, if any of you guys are watching this, because I know there are some staffers that do watch us, consider having a dedicated photo shoot room. I know not everybody can do what Anime Expo did this past year, which was amazing. I know that not every con has that kind of budget. What they did, for those who don't know, is that they basically set up a little alleyway in one of the large convention ballrooms, and they had little separate partitioned off spaces that had themes. So they had like a school room. They had a space room. They had a ball pit. They had a forest. You know, they had these little simple partitioned areas where they had little props in them and a backdrop to where you could take themed photos in there. You didn't have to be a professional photographer to do it. All you had to have was camera and a cosplayer. And to be able to do that, especially at some of the larger conventions, I think would really, really draw in a larger crowd. Both of cosplayers and the people who want to take pictures of the cosplayers. And I know that takes a heck of a lot of budget. I know. But at the same time, I think if you put out to the community that you would like to try and do this, there's enough crafters in your community that they could make your backdrops for you. They could make those props for you. They could assemble it on volunteer work alone. And then you wouldn't have as much to spend.
Absolutely. It actually reminds me a lot of what Dallas Comic Con does. They have a separate room specifically called the Cosplay Corner where people can just kind of relax. There's no worry about photography and all that stuff. It's completely 100% run by other cosplayers. It's none of the staff members that are actually paid by, you know, Dallas Comic Con. It's all local people who just want a place for cosplayers to fix their stuff or just to relax or to eat or whatever. And if they really reached out to the community, that would be a cool thing to happen. That would be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. And you'll usually get knowledgeable people in there so that if something breaks, there's probably somebody in the room that knows how to fix it.
Probably 50 people in the room who know how to fix it.
Well, it depends on how many people are in that room at the time.
Probably 50 people who know how to fix it.
You know, either way, you know, these little things, I know that cosplay isn't the be-all and all of cons, but there are so many cosplayers now at some of the larger cons, they're greater than 50% of the attendance that are cosplayers or cosplay enthusiasts. And so having these little things, I mean, it doesn't have to be a whole alleyway like Expo, but having these little things would greatly enhance the cosplay experience, and I don't think it would cost very much from the con, you know, to have these things. The only thing you would have to worry about is storage, and even to an extent, some of those things can be donated to local theater shops when you're done. So there's always the whole giving back to the community thing. But other than that, I don't have anything else to add.
Just planning and preparing, that's really what it comes down to. Oh, this should probably be said. Don't do this like 2 weeks before the con. That's a really bad idea. And it doesn't matter how big or small the con is. That's just a terrible idea. A lot of people will set up like gatherings 7, 8, 9, 10 months in advance. Heck, I already had the Final Fantasy gathering up for A-Con within a week after the last one, because I know that that's a big popular event, not just for cosplayers, but for fans and for photographers. So I know the earlier that I plan it, the better. So give yourself at least 2 months in advance, because it also may be an opportunity for people to go, hey, I've been thinking about cosplaying from this series, but I really want to be with other people. I want to meet other fans. This would be a great chance for me to make this costume. And 2 months is plenty of time. Well, for some people, plenty of time to make a costume before the event.
That's at least 2 months.
At
you
least 2 months.
You can always do it more.
Yeah.
You can always do 6 months out, like basically when hotel room blocks are almost full.
Mm-hmm.
You can always do it that way. But yeah, I agree. Don't wait until the last minute.
Because you're not going to get anybody to show up. It's just such a hassle. Oh my goodness.
Right. And not only will you not get any cosplayers to show up, you won't get any photographers either.
Mm-hmm.
Because they will already be booked up a month before the con.
Oh yeah, easily a month.
Basically, once schedules come out for any given con, you're done. That's it. People have already started planning everything out, and your shoot's probably not going to be on it.
Exactly. Don't try to add to it.
Yeah, cons are busy enough as is. All right. So other than that, anything else to add to this episode 80?
Farfignugan? Pinky would say that, so don't give me that. That was the name of his horse. So hush. I know my Animaniacs.
I wasn't going to say anything about that. Anyways, thank you, Potters, for joining us for this episode 80 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Welcome to 2015. We hope everybody's cosplays are going to start, you know, on a good foot off here in the next month for those who aren't already working on cosplays frantically for PAX South. For those who are attending PAX South, Val will see you guys here in a few weeks. For those who are still looking for a con to attend, we highly recommend all con. But otherwise, we will see you guys here very shortly in episode 81, in which case we will have all sorts of new content for you guys. So we will see you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.